We do, right here.
The elders are flying along. Elders are flying along. Usually I'm the guy that finds the king.
Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. We'd like to encourage everyone, as always, to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors down the road to sign as well. As we pray for the many across our nation and worldwide affected by the coronavirus, we're taking the following precautionary steps here at Berry. We're asking that we not offer handshakes or hugs to one another while we're assembled here, at least for the time being. We will also not participate in the Lord's Supper or pass offering trays as a way to minimize hand contact of the same items. If you have an offering this morning, please do drop it off in the offering tray on a small oak table back in the foyer, or mail your pledge to the church office. Hand sanitizer is available throughout the building as long as we're able to continue purchasing it. You saw some of that at the front entrance as well. Our services are excluded at this time from the assembly ban in Kansas City, as we are a gathering of under 1,000 people. But if the county or city or state guidelines do change, we'll certainly keep everyone informed by emails and phone calls. We're also striving to wipe down frequently touched surfaces before we assemble. We had a group of folks show up this morning before 7 o'clock, used a lot of bleach water. And also between services, thank you for all those who have helped wipe down some of our shared surfaces here. There's a number of regular events that are being canceled. The Disciple Women's Spring Retreat has been canceled, as has tomorrow night's Koinonia Dinner Out, as well as the Wednesday night Lenten Suppers and the Wednesday night Bible studies. Those are all canceled until further notice. Also, the Men of Faith dinner scheduled for this Thursday evening is also canceled. Oh, and this just in. Monday is being canceled. So, no Monday on tomorrow's calendar. Got to have a sense of humor about all this, right? The Kansas City American Guild of Organist concert is still being scheduled here in the sanctuary tomorrow evening at 7:30. Our own Mary Davis and many other Kansas City area church organists will be playing. We'll also strive to maintain the same cleaning protocols and absence of handshakes or hugs for that event as well. We'll also strive to keep everyone informed about what future events, such as Palm Sunday event for the children and Holy Week services, as our response to the coronavirus continues to unfold. We'll also do our best to maintain our website and have our services published on our website, hopefully within 24 hours after a service, so those who prefer to refrain from attending services may still kind of keep up with us on the website. And please note that the Flowering of the Cross flyer in your bulletin, as we are soliciting funds in memory or honor of loved ones and friends, as we strive to fund the 1,000 flowers that our children will use to decorate the crosses of the 8:30 and 11 o'clock worship services on Easter Sunday. Your donation check and the form can be placed in the offering plate or given to Carol in a church office during office hours. And Kathy has an announcement to share.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? I would like to extend an invitation to the ladies of the church to host a table at the spring tea on Saturday, April 18th at 1 p.m. It isn't a difficult job to be the hostess of a table for six. You don't have to use your own dishes to set your table. The church can provide dishes, decorations, tablecloths, teapots. Everything you need to create a pretty table can be provided. Oh, and here comes one of the sweet ladies of our church. Let's find out if she would be interested in being a tea hostess. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can I have your name, please?
Wilma Teabag.
Wilma Teabag. Do you enjoy a cup of tea, Ms. Teabag?
Why, sure. 12 cups a day keeps the doctor away.
Would you be interested in hosting a table at Our Lady's Tea on April 18th?
Oh, lovely heavens, no. Too much work for these dainty hands.
But the hospitality committee will make all the food, brew the tea, serve the guests at your table, buy the dishes and decorations, and we'd even wash those dishes.
Well, maybe I could do that. You know, I'm pretty shy and don't really talk to people.
Oh. Do you do anything interesting or exciting that might entertain the women at the tea?
Well, I can whistle Dixie while I'm brushing my teeth with the best of them.
Oh, my. Well, I think the hospitality committee has a very nice speaker lined up for the ladies to enjoy. Would you enjoy decorating a tea table?
You have me convinced. I'll do it. Where do I sign up?
Just contact Barb Mayberry or call the church office. Thank you, Ms. Teabag.
Doodles.
I'll see you there. Did you see those legs? There will be a sign-up sheet in the lobby next week, I think. Or maybe there's one now. Oh, I think there is, yes. If you'd like to host a table. So, thank you.
Please rise for the call to worship. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one. I have asked the Lord for one thing. One thing only do I want.
To live in the Lord's house all my life, to dwell where
He is. And to ask for His guidance. Let us sing hymn number 86, all stanzas.
Is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father? There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. blesses all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you, Jovan Clayton and Evan Jones, for being our acolytes this morning. Did you folks see the smiles on their faces as they came up and lit the candle? Pretty precious. May we all bow in a word of prayer. Loving and merciful God, we find comfort as we gather here this morning among friends and family, grateful for the protection of our sanctuary and for our health and resilience during this time of many unknowns. We're also grateful for the things that are known, that of our scripture, where Jesus reminds us that you will not leave us comfortless, but you will come to us. And we invite you into our presence now as we begin our worship together. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Please take a few moments to wave at those around you, blow kisses, and give air hugs as we greet and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Kind of a small crowd today, huh? Yeah. Well, Kathy Connell, who usually does our children's sermon, called me early this morning and says, I can't come in today. I'm not going to be there. She's kind of sick. So she's not coming in today, so she didn't spread whatever she has to us. And I told her, well, you take good care of yourself. And then I had to come up with an idea for children's sermon, so I thought we'd talk about how we can take care of ourselves. So everything up here is a way that I take care of myself. Everything on this tray. So we have food, right? We try to eat good food to take care of ourselves. We have all the food groups here. We have vegetables, meat, fruit, and cookies. Right? Sometimes you got to have a cookie to take care of yourself, right? Kind of a little treat every now and then. So we use soap and water to wash our hands, right? Here's some soap. We got toothpaste. Oh, hand sanitizer. This stuff's kind of hard to get at the stores nowadays, isn't it? But I have this huge, big bottle of it. We will be auctioning this off after service if anybody's interested in putting in a bid. Oh, let's see what else we got here. Oh, looky here. I got a pillow and blanket. One way that I try to take good care of myself is getting enough sleep. I've got a book I like to read, and it relaxes me, so it helps me take care of myself. Here's a game. Sometimes playing a game with your brothers and sisters and moms and dads is a good way to have fun and take care of yourself too, isn't it? Yeah? And one of my favorite ways of taking care of myself, this isn't my real doggy, but I have two of these at home. They're a little bit bigger. They're Brittany's. And scientists have learned that when we pet our dogs or our cats, our blood pressure tends to go down, and our heart rates go down, and we're calmer, and we're healthier when we pet our dogs and cats. Did you guys know that? Yeah, you do now, right? Let's see what else. Oh, you know what? Sometimes I love going to a ball game. So having fun is a good way to take care of yourself too on occasion, right? Yeah, I think so. I also have this, and this is a great way to take care of ourselves, to know the Word of God. This Bible here is probably older than most of your parents. My mom and dad gave me this on Christmas Day, 1973. Long time ago. This Bible is almost 50 years old. But I want to point out one verse to you guys, and that is this one. It comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verse 18. It says, it's Jesus talking, and it says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So we know that especially in times of trouble and turmoil out in the world, that God will always come to us and comfort us. Can we bow in a word of prayer? Lord God, we pray for your guidance during this season of viruses and illnesses. We pray for your comfort as we know, as your word says, that you will come to us and comfort us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. First of all, we want to mention that Andrew's parents, Stan and Debbie, are here. God bless you both. They're kind of helping filling in some of the gaps in the choir this morning. We're grateful for you all. I know you all are here from Ohio. I imagine you're here for another performance, right? Right. So we are so delighted that they're in our midst today. We also want to lift up Connie Stark, as her brother, Chris Embry, passed into the Lord's presence, and he had been living in Lindsberg, just outside of McPherson, Kansas, and Connie is back in McPherson this weekend as they get ready for services. So, Klaus, all of you are certainly in our prayers. And we want to continue to remember Jill Gregory and John Barnes, Grace Kimberling, Rihanna Ralston, Dave Haynes, Don Thomas, Mary Otto, A.J. Merritt. We continue also to remember Robin Egret, Glenn Bartley, Michelle Jacobo, and a number of people that have been in our prayers here recently. But thankfully, you know, we don't have anybody in the hospital right now, so that's really a good thing in the midst of our congregation. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and loving God, we are privileged to assemble and honor you in worship and praise this Lord's Day morning. Even as many may not be among us this morning, we know that we are all gathered together in spirit and in adoration of your holy name. For as John 4, verse 24 declares, we know that you, O God, are in spirit, and that it is only by the power of your spirit that we truly worship you as you really are. We offer to you, O God, our most heartfelt concern and prayers for the many across our country and indeed throughout the world affected by the spread of the coronavirus, and especially for those who have lost loved ones in death. We pray your great comfort to be with them as you care for the souls of all your children across humanity. And even in anxious moments, may we remember that 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that we can cast all our anxiety on you because you genuinely care for each of us. And as Philippians chapter 4 reminds us, may we remember that we need not be anxious about anything, but that in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, we can let our requests be known to you. For in doing so, it will be your peace that surpasses all understanding and guards our hearts and minds in Christ. For we will know a certainty, as it has been the case with all of life's challenges through the centuries, you never leave us alone, and in all things we are victorious through Christ, who is Lord and Savior. And it is in his name that we offer this prayer as we remember the prayer he teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Judy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. Our scripture today is found in the New Testament in John 19, 25 to 27, and you can find that on page 990 in your pew Bible. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
Thank you.
But one thing is for certain, we can put our hands together to clap. And thank you. Thank you all so much. We're so grateful. Thank you. Again, a reminder, we are not participating in the Lord's Supper until further notice, because again, that's that matter of making hand-to-hand contact with a common object, and we're just hoping that not doing that is a way to help to prevent the possibility of viruses spreading from spot to spot. But we do want to mention that in the back, we do have the offering trays as you are departing the sanctuary. If you have an offering that you would like to offer up to the congregation, that is certainly appreciated as we are, you know, obviously the bills keep going as we move forward. But for communion, we will have our meditation, and then we will sing all stanzas of our communion hymn, and then have a brief time of meditation and prayer before God before I'll offer the message. But for our communion meditation, as tragic events unfold, we've heard people exclaim, "Oh, I can't bear to watch." And as we read the story of Jesus' crucifixion from the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, we're led to believe that only some of the women who followed Jesus actually witnessed his crucifixion. Yet Luke's account in Luke chapter 23, verse 49 tells us, all those who knew Jesus personally, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance to watch. From this text, we know that Jesus' disciples and many other followers stood at a distance out of fear of reprisal from the Jewish and Roman authorities, and they stood not as spectators, but as witnesses who grieved the suffering and death of our Lord. We too, as believers today, stand not as spectators, but we stand as witnesses of Christ's suffering, that we may be inspired to honor what our Lord has done as he became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin, as he became that conduit through whom we are blessed with life eternal. Thus, as witnesses, we partake in the bread and the cup today only in a mental and spiritual way, as it commemorates his devotion to us. But may we now turn to our communion hymn. It's number 429. As we sing all stanzas, please, of "You Satisfy the Hungry Heart," 429.
Satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. With joyful lips we sing to you our praise and gratitude, that you should count us worthy, Lord, to share this heavenly food. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, soul-saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. Is not the cup we bless and share the blood of Christ outpoured? Do not one cup, one loaf declare our oneness in the Lord? You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. The mystery of your presence, Lord, no mortal tongue can tell, whom all the world cannot contain.
comes in our hearts to dwell. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. You give yourself to us, O Lord, then selfless let us be, to serve each other in your name, in truth and charity. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come, give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We hope that the protocols that we have established, that we've tried to explain this morning, are at least an attempt on the part of the leadership of the congregation for us to feel like we can do our part to strive to mitigate the spread of this coronavirus. Who knows, we might even get rid of some of the regular common cold issues that we deal with. Maybe even that'll be eliminated a lot sooner than normal. If we have any other changes, and again, we're going to be following what is the recommendations through the counties of which we serve, you know, Clay and Platte counties. We're kind of right here on the dividing line, by the way, if you're not aware that Platte purchases the dividing line between the two counties here just to our west. But we will continue to follow those guidelines. If the number count drops and we're told that people, say, under a couple hundred aren't able to assemble, well, then we'll let you know. But we do need to mention that the only real means we have to keep in touch with everybody is by email and by phone calls. And we did send out an email this past Thursday to the broad level of the congregation. If you did not get that email on Thursday, would you please call the church office this week and let Carol know what your email address is? Because I know she does try to keep track of that, but she may have missed some. I talked to one person in one of the retirement centers yesterday, and that person was not on the list. So again, please call Carol. Don't go through me, because I'm just one other conduit. Go directly to Carol, leave a message for her, and so she can get any new or current or changed email addresses on that list so we can help keep you informed. Would you do that for us? It's the best way we have to be in touch with one another. We will follow along this whole journey, as is the rest of our community, the state, the nation, and indeed the world, as we strive to get beyond all things coronavirus, right? Right, so thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the privilege to be here and to know your Spirit is with us. Truly, as we understand your great love, we know it was expressed so significantly through your Son, even as he bore the burden of the cross. For his great love and yours, we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, for the second week of the Lenten season, even as Jesus hung on the cross, we witnessed his genuine consideration for another person as he declared to the penitent thief in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, "I promise you that today you will be in paradise with me." Now we are in this third week of Lent. We've read this text from John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, verses 25 through 27. And we see that even in the midst of his immense suffering, Jesus still continues to have profound consideration for others. And in this case, it is for his mother. Correct? Now, Jesus was the eldest son of Mary and Joseph. As the eldest son, he not only had benefits, he had responsibility. A benefit was that the largest share of a father's inheritance at the time of the father's death would go to the elder son. The responsibility was that the care for the parents also fell to the oldest son. But we can surmise from previous scripture texts and from Jesus' words on the cross that Joseph had been deceased for some time. The last time Joseph was mentioned in Scripture is when Jesus is discovered in the temple, the age of 12. Remember, Mary and Joseph had already gone out of Jerusalem with the rest of the folks from Nazareth. As they meet up with one another, "No, Jesus, what happened to him? I don't know, I thought he was with you." No, I thought he was with you. He wasn't with either one of them." So they run back into Jerusalem, they find him there in the temple, correct? That's the last time we see Joseph in person. Even when Jesus turned the water into wine, no Joseph. When Mary and the siblings greet Jesus while he's in the midst of his ministry, there's no Joseph. In today's scripture, Mary is at the foot of the cross, Joseph is absent. The very fact that Jesus is transferring the care of Mary to someone else is clear evidence that Joseph is deceased. And as we look at Jesus' words this morning, we may first wonder, well, why is it that Jesus, as the eldest son, committed Mary's care to an apostle? Why not the next brother in line? That would have made sense, right? Well, the scene shows us that those who were at the foot of the cross are those who were believers. Jesus' siblings are not there at the cross because they probably were at this point still not convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. In fact, John chapter 7, verse 5 tells us that the brothers did not become believers until the time of Jesus' resurrection. In fact, the resurrection really was the turning point for so many people, because here they had known that he died, and yet in his resurrected form they could see the wounds, and yet in spite of those wounds, there he stood before them. So the resurrection was a turning point for James and the other brothers and siblings. Another question we may ask is, why did Jesus say to Mary, "Woman, behold thy son"? You know, in our culture, when somebody says, "Well, woman," is that a good expression? No, usually not. Usually it's a husband. You know, "Now, woman," it's a real derogatory, demeaning kind of expression, is it not? This is not the only instance where we see Jesus saying to Mary, "Woman." But what we have to understand is that it meant a lot more of a different expression in Jesus' day than it does for our time period. Actually, The other time period it is used is the time when Mary had approached Jesus at the wedding in Cana, and she said, "Hey, son, you know, you have the power. You could turn this ritual water here into wine if you wanted to, and you could save this family a lot of grief." Jesus says, "Woman, what does that have to do with me?" In other words, what does that have to do with my ministry? Because Jesus is saying, you know, my time has not yet come. I do not want it to be revealed to the world who I really am. This is not the time yet. This is not God's time. So, woman, why are you prompting me to do this? Now, he does go ahead and follow along. He turns the water into wine. Who knows about it? Mary does, and the disciples. But does the rest of the crowd know? No. You imagine that the family must have learned they were saved somehow. You know, whoo-wee, boy, we made it through that event, didn't we? All our guests are happy and went home. That's a good thing, right? But the expression "woman" here is actually more the word "ma'am," or it's actually as if Jesus is saying, "My dear woman." It's actually more an expression of honor, not a derogatory statement. Now, as we look at this text for this morning, we also may wonder, well, which apostle was it that Jesus chose to entrust the care of Mary? Well, the text tells us it was the apostle whom Jesus loved. In other words, it was the apostle whom Jesus regarded as his best friend. But not only his best friend and a buddy kind of point of view, but really in a spiritual point of view. Notice, Jesus did not commit the care of Mary to the brothers. He committed Mary's care to an apostle because Jesus was concerned not only about Mary's physical welfare, he was also concerned about her spiritual welfare. And the very fact that the brothers were not at the cross was a sign that on a spiritual plane, the brothers weren't where they needed to be at that point. But Jesus knew he could count on who? It was the Apostle John. He could count on him for the physical issues as well as the spiritual welfare. The very fact that Mary is at the foot of the cross is a clear sign that she is still a follower of Christ in a spiritual way, even though she is, in fact, his mother. That's an important point for us, is it not? You know, when we need a buddy, when we need somebody we can really lean on, sometimes that person is not a family member. You know, we may be blood related, but sometimes blood doesn't always give us the right values that we're looking for in our lives. So many times I have discovered people who say, you know, my real best friends are not my relatives. My best friends in life are so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so that I know in church. Why is that the case? Because in the life and fellowship of Jesus Christ, we not only may have that personal connection because we're nearby one another, but we have that connection in spirit and in values. And that's what carries us forward together as comrades, if you will. That's the kind of connection that Jesus had with this apostle named John. Now, how do we know that we're talking about John, the apostle, the brother of James? Both of them were sons of Zebedee. Well, several times in the Gospel of John, we see this expression, the apostle or the disciple whom Jesus loved. Not only in this text here of John chapter 19, but also John 13 describes that the disciple whom Jesus loved was reclining next to Jesus. That was at the Last Supper. And of course, even Leonardo da Vinci paints that into the picture, remember? Or John chapter 21, verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord," again when he saw Christ in the resurrected form. Now, the reason why the name is not mentioned is because John the Apostle is the author of the Gospel of John, and it would not have been appropriate etiquette in his time period as the author to mention his own name. That's why you see him simply making reference to a common knowledge point, is that all the disciples knew, as probably certainly other people knew, that Jesus and the Apostle John had this kind of close affinity with one another. Right? Now, as we look at this particular situation, what's also unique about John? He also experienced many of the unique experiences with Jesus. The Transfiguration, many of the key miracles. And John is the apostle who lived the longest. His brother James, by the way, was the apostle who was martyred first. By contrast, John lived well into the 90s AD. He wrote the book of Revelation for us. Again, he was inspired and touched by the Spirit of God in unique and special ways. I really think it's that kind of divine intervention that John was blessed to have, and probably because he was open to it. That's why the Spirit of God blessed him so. Jesus saw that in him, and because of that, he knew that Mary would be well served in John's care. We also know that John does not jump out into ministry out and beyond Jerusalem until likely after the death of Mary, showing us again his faithful, watchful care for Mary to the very end. Those are some unique characteristics about the reason why Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," and "Son, behold your mother." What does all of this tell us about Jesus? It tells us that even as Jesus continued to suffer the wretched pain of the cross, his attention was not upon himself. It was upon others. And don't we know that is a lesson that our culture really needs to understand? We get so wrapped up in our own personal care. We even hear that term, don't we? Your own personal care. Well, we get overboard about the notion of taking care of ourselves to the point where we forget to take care of others. Here, Christ in his example is showing us that even in the midst of his difficulties, even in the greatest level of pain, here he is caring for others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the text tells us, "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in all our troubles so that we are able to help others who have all kinds of troubles, using the same help that we ourselves have received from God. Just as we share in Christ's many sufferings, so also will we share in God's great help." Praise God. May you and I learn from the example Christ has set for us. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is the day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 585. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 3 of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." 585. May we stand and sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs you bear. What a privilege you carry. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there.
Please have a seat for a moment, if you will, please. We want to take a moment here to welcome Lon Anderson. Lon's been attending worship and some of our other activities as his employment allows him opportunity to be present with us. And Lon, it's been a pleasure to have you sharing in worship with us and in the men's group and other activities. And I do ask you again, as we've talked before, and we know you've already made your confession of faith and been baptized, but I do ask you again, do you believe with all your heart that indeed Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as you have accepted him as Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Praise God. Praise God for that, Lon. Now, normally I would extend a hand to Christian Fellowship and welcome you, but we're going to welcome you even without a handshake, right, this morning? So yes. let's give Lon a hand as we welcome Lon into our fellowship. Praise God. And we'll have Lon say hello to you as we head out the door. I do want to remind you before we have our closing prayer that, again, we've got the offering plates there on the table. If you have an offering and want to put it in there on your way out, that certainly helps the congregation as we move forward. And, again, be mindful of email messages, or we'll strive to be getting word out if we have any other changes. Otherwise, the protocol you've seen today will be pretty much what we'll be striving to maintain until further notice in our worship and Sunday school. May we have a word of prayer. Lord God, we give thanks for Lon's presence among us this morning as he has chosen to become a part of our fellowship. As we step forward into the new week, we know that we continue to have uncertainties across the land and the world, but we know your Holy Spirit is with us, and together we journey as one, for we are all your children whom you love and care for, and we know your Spirit will abide with us to grant us a great measure of your assurance. For this we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. May we stand for the closing hymn.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide, uphold you. With a shepherd's care enfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils thick confound you, pull its unfailing arms around you. God
it be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again.